This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Elected officials in Florida take a fresh look at their strategy of sanctioning a company that generates a lot of economic activity there. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Florida's legislature opens a new session this week in one high-profile matter to be addressed, the future of the Walt Disney Company's special governing district in Orlando. Lawmakers last year voted to take away Disney's special status, but that meant billions of dollars in private debt would become public debt. That is to say, Floridians would be on the hook. Marketplace's Nova Safo explains.
Florida's lawmakers and Governor Ron DeSantis have gotten themselves in a bit of a jam. Last April, at DeSantis's urging, the legislature passed a law dissolving the Reedy Creek Improvement District, which has existed for almost 60 years and is run by Disney. The move was meant to punish Disney for opposing Florida's Don't Say Gay law, as opponents call it. Disney will lose certain tax advantages and self-governing rights. But Disney's special district also has $1 billion in municipal debt to pay for everything from new roads to garbage collection. If the district is dissolved this June, as scheduled, that debt becomes the public's problem. The governor and the legislature will now have to figure out what to do. There's no proposal made public yet. The governor did offer a hint, saying he wants to revise the governance and powers of the special district while making sure its debts remain Disney's and Disney's alone. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
Let's now get a glimpse of the week ahead from an economist's perspective. It is a week that will include President Joe Biden's big speech on the state of things. Julia Coronado is founder and president of Macro Policy Perspectives. Morning.
Good morning.
We do see Fed governors, the head of the Fed, Fed bank presidents, all speaking at different times this week. They're unlikely to say they're in the mood to start ratcheting back the interest rate increases. But what about the president of the United States? He's got a big speech on Tuesday evening. Be interesting to hear his views on the economy.
That's right. I mean, he's going to have to be pretty pleased with the latest employment report, with unemployment a new low since 1969, 3.4%, and inflation coming down. That's a pretty unusual and pleasing combination for the president to be able to point to.
But, I mean, just last fall, just about every chief executive officer in the country, when surveyed, said, we expect a recession in 2023. No?
That's what the survey said. And in fact, that was the consensus among economists. But if you're at 3.4% unemployment, a lot of things have to go wrong for a recession to start soon. So it's looking more and more like a soft landing is possible this year, or maybe even no landing. Maybe we're just going to grow.
Julia Coronado is also a professor at the University of Texas, Austin. Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do
the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
Meat grown in a factory from animal cells could soon be on the menu at some American restaurants. Recently, the California startup Upside Foods became the first to get FDA approval for its cultivated chicken. It's now awaiting word from the U.S. Department of Agriculture on this. Upside and other makers of what's sometimes called lab-grown meat are optimistic their products will be available at a handful of restaurants starting in the San Francisco Bay Area by the end of this year. Marketplace's Savannah Marr reports.
Here's how Amy Chen with Upside Foods describes the science behind cultivated meat.
So you're taking a sample of cells from an animal or fertilized egg. You're growing those and giving them nutrients like vitamins or amino acids.
What you end up with is muscle, fat, and connective tissue cells that are just like conventional meat, but grown in a steel vat.
And then you're harvesting and cooking it.
And you're doing that without raising and slaughtering animals, a process that accounts for some 15% of global carbon emissions, according to the UN.
It's a pretty substantial impact on land, water, greenhouse gases, not to mention animal welfare.
If these small startups can manage to scale up and produce at a similar rate as conventional agriculture, but that's a long way off, and government regulators aren't the only hurdle.
There's such a thing called food neophobia.
Erlinda Cornelis is a professor of marketing at San Diego State University. She says consumers are generally wary of food innovation.
Especially when it comes to meat, people can be more defensive.
Even the labels we give this technology can affect whether people are willing to give it a try. For example, lab-grown gives off mad scientist vibes.
Well, at the same time, could be appreciated in the sense that would you rather have your meat come from a slaughterhouse or rather have it come from a lab?
She says being transparent about how these products are made will be key to getting consumers on board. But the emerging industry also has supply chain and production challenges to work out, says David Block, a professor in the Department of Food Sciences at UC Davis.
I think it's the goal of every cultivated meat company to reach price parity with conventional grown meat.
Right now, the production process is far too expensive for that. Block says if companies can manage to scale up, they could help address growing global demand for meat, which is projected to double before 2050.
You can't just fill that void growing more animals. There just isn't enough space and resources to do that.
In the short term, Block says cultivated meat will be a niche specialty product for those who can afford it. Down the road, he predicts we'll all have to get more comfortable with it. I'm Savannah Marr for Marketplace.
And reporting in the Wall Street Journal focuses on fresh government data showing there were 58,000 fewer daycare workers in the U.S. last month compared to before pandemic. Wait lists for childcare are long, and in some urban areas it costs $17,000 a year to find a spot for a child, contributing to the labor shortage that we focus on here with parents forced to stay home with kids. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio. It's the Marketplace Morning Report. APM, American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.